for the election. Also tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon. I'm John Langston, and I'm an alcoholic. Sober another day by the grace of God and the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you will, let's bow our heads for a moment. And in this meditation, let's remember our state assembly, our trusted servants. Remember those who have served us so well and have gone on. And pray for the success of our assembly this weekend. Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Now that you're all comfortably seated, I'm going to ask that the section to my right and your left be reserved for those who do not smoke. I thought maybe somebody over there would applaud that. If you do not smoke and would like to move, or if you don't want to smoke during this meeting but will later, you can sit over here and you may move now. And now we come to the spiritual part of our meeting. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. But it does take money to run this outfit, so dig deep. Remembering all the time that a dollar does not buy what it used to. Yes, on the podium. GSRs and members of AA, to go back to your districts, your groups, and to emphasize our seventh tradition, remembering our pamphlet supporting the AA support system, that it does take money. The district committee members and the GSR should be supported by their districts and their groups. And on the state level, the ones who serve AA should be supported. We have a prepaid convention plan. So let's see if we can't get our contributions to the state and to our prepaid convention plan in better shape than they are at the present. Paul will tell you more about that tomorrow. We're not in bad shape, but we can do better. We're always in good shape. This afternoon, we want to deal with two things. One, a motion was made at the State Assembly in May. And the motion was discussed. The procedure, according to our state manual, is to bring it to this body again. It will be discussed at this time and then tabled and brought back to the following state assembly. We are following the state AA service manual. And then following that, we will have an Ask It Basket session in which you are invited and even urged to ask any question that you may have, because no question concerning Alcoholics Anonymous, sobriety, our fellowship is unimportant. This is where we get the answers, and for goodness sakes, don't run out of here and say, they did this and they did that. I used to think that GSO and AA was separate and apart, and it was us versus them until I got up there. But I can assure you that it isn't, and we are all in this together. So participate in this Ask It Basket session, and we will have questions from the floor. I would urge you when you do this to come to the mic so that everyone will have an opportunity to hear you. Following our service manual, I will now turn the meeting over to our state chairperson, Joe Phelan.
Thank you, John. My name is Joe Phelan, and I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. How are you? Hi, folks. The motion that was referred to was made in May by Levis H., the district committee member of District 10. The manual states, the state assembly shall meet 3 times a year. These meetings shall be held in the central location of Georgia to minimize the amount of travel for all concerned. The motion referred to the fact that the meetings could be held in any location of Georgia. In our manual to change any guidelines, several things happened for the benefit of those who were not here. The change motion was made from the floor. The motion was fully discussed on the floor. This motion was then tabled with the instructions from the chairperson for the GSRs to carry this motion back to their groups for further discussion and bring results to the next assembly meeting. The delegate was directed to appoint a study committee to review this motion with the results brought to this assembly meeting. I first want to ask for the results of the study committee. The study committee is composed of Bob P., GSR of the then Welcome Group, and Groves C., former committee member from District 14. After they state their brief findings on this motion, I will ask Levis H., who made the motion, to do the same. And then on receiving this information, there will be a very short period of time for discussion, but we will then be, according to the manual, tabled and sent back to the groups for vote at the next assembly. Bob P. and Grove C., would you come on up here and give your report to the Assembly of Georgia?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bob Polk. Hi, Bob. I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Groves and I were deciding which would go first, and he says, I'm on the upper end of the state and you're on the lower end of the totem pole. I appreciate the privilege of being asked to contribute anything that I could in this issue. I can give you 2 things. I can give you my feelings and give you what I found. I personally, particularly, don't care for Macon, but this is a personal view. You know, I didn't like to come to Alcoholics Anonymous either. And I didn't like to be labeled an alcoholic at one time either. And today I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic. I felt that we were being, this is personal, being mistreated in Macon at our hotel here. And I felt that maybe that we could do better some other place. If you left it up to me and let me run it, we'd have these meetings in Jekyll Island every time. And you know, this is what I like. But you know, if you look at me some 15 years ago and how I ran things, I'd be damned if you want me running this today. So you better leave it like it is. I talked to a lot of people from around, not only my group, but all over South Georgia. As Grove said, I'm from South Georgia on the lower end, from District 2. And the consensus was to begin with that let's just get out of Macon at any price. But then you talk to those people a few minutes and realize that what we have is now working for us and is successful and it's been doing a real good job, and we have one of the best state assemblies in not only in the whole South but the whole nation. And you talk to these people that suddenly say let's just get out of Macon. You know, we're drunks are impulsive. And we want to do things, or at least I do, on the spur of the moment. And we suddenly become grateful for our sobriety. And then when we find that something is working and it's doing such a good job for us, if we can find some way to stay in the central part, Macon, of Georgia, they readily agree. That's the best thing to do if we can work out a way to do it. According to the way I interpret our manual and the way it's been taught to me, then we have to have 3 assemblies in order to move this. it was suggested that if we did not go ahead and move at this time, let's give our people here leverage that if we decide to move in a later date, that we can up and move without three or four assemblies. Now, I don't know what this entails. I'm merely making a report to the best of my ability. Being grateful for my sobriety and what we have that's in Georgia today that is working, I personally hope that we can stay right here where we are, because I think, quote, no one in AA has it made, but we sure have it running for us. Thank you, sir.
Ledge Pass Committee Member, District 14, North Georgia.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Gross Carlage, an alcoholic. Hi, everyone. Well, I'm going to get right down to the business end of this. I appreciate what, and working with Bob and what Bob had to say. The consensus of the people that we talk with is keeping it around the Macon area because it is centrally located. And we do have a good thing going. And I cannot express my opinion the way I feel this afternoon. I'll have to talk for Alcoholics Anonymous because some things have happened that I don't care to talk about here. But but as Bob said, we can't run it like I want to because I run it downhill. And that's the reason I'm here this afternoon, trying to do something about that. But I think the main purpose, and Bob and I have been here this afternoon, is to let you know how these other people feel. We do feel like the consensus is that we have been maybe mistreated. Might not be a good word for it. I don't know. But anyhow, we are all for getting the ball to rolling right now, where if you decide at a later date to go ahead and move it and not have to go through, like the manual says, the three assembly meetings, which takes a full year to do. And I think that's what Bob pretty well explained this thing. And that's the way the people that I have talked with go ahead and act on it now. And then, of course, give these people all that leverage to get something worked out. And then if they can't, then be where we'll be able to do it and do it right then. Because I think if things continue on and so forth, and they know that we'll be here another year, we might change our mind and all that, that might have some influence on it too. So let's get it where at least they know we can move if we want to, and we won't have to wait a full year to do something about it. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you both for the solid reports and recommendation and reading of the group conscience of both North and South Georgia. I'd like to ask Levis H. to come to the microphone now. Levis is district committee member of District 10. Levis made the original motion, and we'd like to give him the time as he feels about it this afternoon, too. Come, Levis.
Joe, I am Levis Hanley. I'm committee member of the 10th district. And I'm very grateful for recovering alcoholic.
Hi, Levis.
I appreciate the report from the committee. I just want to make it real clear that the motion was not to move the assembly from Macon, Georgia. The motion simply states that we want the ability, if at any time in the future we feel that it would be to the betterment of AA to move this convention, then we have the option to do so. So that's really all I have to say, is just clarifying that we are not voting to move from Macon. I will say on a personal note, I personally like Macon. I'm only 2 hours away. I love Jekyll Island, but I hate to have to ride 6 hours to get to every assembly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Levis. Thank you. I think we have heard from the committee, and I think we've heard from the man who made the motion, and I don't see an awful lot of difference. I think we have enough now in view of our hour-long discussion to take these back, this information back to our group, prepared to vote on this issue in January. And according to the manual, we are now to table it, asking UGSRs to meet with your committee members for further discussion and bring the results to the next assembly meeting in January, at which time you need to be prepared to vote. And I'll now call this call. Yes, sir. Sure. Go ahead.
I'm Doozy Doozenberry from the Jekyll Island group. And my group, and my question is this, and I've heard it asked quite a bit. There's some misunderstanding, I think, on this motion into the fact that the motion was prompted by mistreatment or alleged mistreatment by the Macon Hilton. And the idea that we had to have a motion of this type to move from the Macon Hilton. Well, the way I read it, it says that anywhere in central Georgia, which would include Atlanta, which would include Milledgeville, which would include the other motels and hotels here in Macon. And I wondered why, is this a wrong interpretation of it, or is the committee tied into the Macon Hilton without a under this motion?
No, it is. It's got some accuracy and something that's wrong about it. The motion is any location in Georgia, giving the committee the option to negotiate and to have leverage. Is that cleared up for you? Okay. So to boil it on down again, please go back to your groups, meet with your committee members and your GSRs, and come back prepared to vote on this motion in January, and there will be further discussion prior to the vote. Yes.
I'm Al Colling. I'm J.R. G.R. Macon County Group, Montezuma. Hi, buddy. I appreciate the committee's report, but the way the motion now reads, if you change the manual from what it now reads, you can move it anywhere you want to anytime.
Now, Levis, would you clarify that? I want to be sure that you who made the motion used the word any location. Let's have Levis H. again, just to be sure.
My group wants to vote against the motion.
We don't vote until next time. Okay.
The motion was that we change the manual to read to any location in the state of Georgia. Part of this was brought on is that it was suggested at one time Albany, Georgia. Well, Albany feels like in central part of Georgia, but there are other people that said, hell, Albany's way over on the west side down south. So this will just clarify that it can be by majority vote that if we decide to move the convention from the Hilton, we can move across town if we can find one right here in Macon. Thank you.
So that clarifies it, yes. Virgil Warren, past delegate, would like to say something.
I'm Virgil Warren, and I am an alcoholic. I think I talked at length on this subject at the May meeting. I know why that paragraph is in the Georgia AA service manual. It was put there for a purpose to stop arguments and such as we're talking about now. Now, I want, before you go back and discuss this with your group, and before you come back here in January to vote on it, I wanted you to think about something very seriously. The very fact that that paragraph is in the Georgia service manual gives you the privilege of having your convention anywhere in the central section of Georgia. It doesn't mention a city, it doesn't mention a hotel. It doesn't mention anything else. It's just the central location of Georgia, which happens to be Macon. Now, this is the thing I want you to think seriously about when you discuss it. Right now, the way the Georgia Service Manual is written, you as a body, the GSRs of the State Assembly, have the privilege by voting in the majority, according to the manual, to move this assembly. Now, if a highly populated area of the state, you remove that from the manual, strike meeting in the central section of Georgia, you strike it from the manual, and then a highly populated area votes, which they can do with their population, to move the assembly to their part of the state, you better believe it'll stay there and you will never be able to move it. You've got the privilege of moving it now like it's written, but you won't when you strike that paragraph and let them move it to a highly populated area. You've lost your franchise because they'll keep voting to keep it there. Think about that when you go to talking to your groups about it and want to move
it. Thank you, Virgil. And of course, he strikes to the heart of our unity, one group, one vote. And I think we all need to think about what Virgil has said. I will now table it, and we'll come back and vote on it in January. Please give this serious consideration. It's more than one hotel. I couldn't add to Virgil's wisdom and his background in Alcoholics Anonymous. This time, I'd like to turn the meeting back to the state delegate, run the Ascot basket, and get down there and sit with all of you until later.
Oh, no, you step here. You're going to answer the question. Step here. No, we ain't going to let him.
Sit down. Damn, if I'm going to step here. And that's why I got all these guys up here. If we will, now let's, this is very important, our Ascot basket session. The meeting is still being conducted, hasn't closed. So if you will, return to your seats, please, after you get your coffee. We've got several questions here. I'll answer some of them. I've, without trying to select any ones, I've passed some of them out to our former delegates. I think all of you know them. They were elected by the State Assembly. Bob Ross on my left. Joe Phelan, state chairperson, Virgil Warren, and Alan Royston. And we also will have some questions from the floor. This one says, while I realize that the new method of mailing the message to the district committee members saves a bit of money, it has persisted in problems when the district committee member has been unable to attend the zone GSR meeting. I presume he means either the zone or the district GSR meeting. In answer to that part of it, I would say that each district or zone within a district should have regularly scheduled GSR meetings conducted by the district committee member or, in his absence, the alternate district committee member. And in case a message comes to the district committee member or his representative, he can appoint somebody to receive it. Somebody in that district or zone should be able to get that message and get it to the GSRs. We have saved at least, I think Paul tells me, $1,500 by doing it this way and sending it UPS. We have to cut every penny that we possibly can in order to stay solvent and afloat. Now, this is not only true with our assembly, it's true with our districts and our groups, and it's also true in any business. Now, $1,500 is a lot of money. If we can cut that out by one little act, then I'm all in favor of it. The group has expressed some concern about this, as the message is vital means of communication within the state organization. Would it be possible or something to go back to the old method of delivery to the individual groups? Of course, this was voted on by the district committee members, and this, they can change it, but I would suggest that we continue it as it is. It does two things. It saves us some money. It also helps the GSRs to communicate with their district committee member. I'm going to ask Joe to answer this one, if he will, please.
Our AA contributions, IRS approved, tax deductible. The latest numbers, as I understand them, is up to $300. That means you can go to 300 meetings and drop a dollar in the basket, or better, 150 meetings and drop $2 in the basket, and then another 150 and another $100. But up to $300, you do not have to back up your contributions to your, in your meetings or to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Joe. And now I'm going to call on Bob Ross to answer questions and pass down to him.
Hey, this is partly on that last question. At least it's related. How much you can give. As far as the IRS is concerned, I want to meet some of those people that are putting the $300 in, because this question don't verify that. It says, why don't some of the larger groups help support the assembly and GSO? That answer lies right here in this room, I think, because we've got all these committeemen and all these GSRs here who come to the assembly. We see what we're doing because we're doing it down here for them as their representative. But it's up to us to take that message back and let them know that the figures in this financial report that we see are not the best in the world. So it's up to the GSRs and the committeemen to take this message back every time you come down here, and in between too, to let them know, as John just said, that some of these things are not self-supporting. Like AA, we are told is supposed to be self-supporting, which we know is not true, because the grapevine, a lot of other things have brought monies in to make it come out. So it's up to you people in this room to carry this message back, that what we're doing is not sufficient, especially to those groups who have two zeros on the two columns on the report you're going to take back. Make them conscious that it is their AA. Not ours, it's theirs. We do our share, they do their share, and make it self-supporting.
Thank you, Bob. I'm picking out the hard ones for Virgil. This is a question, I might say a perennial question, one that has come up ever since I have been in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and have been coming to the State Assembly. It's also a question that is becoming increasingly more important and was handled at the conference in April in New York. I'll read it verbatim. I don't want to open a can of worms, but I hear this cause a lot of controversy and ill feelings. I have heard so many different views on it, and I would like to know what GSO suggested guidelines on it. The question is about the drug controversy in an AA meeting. Now, come on. Everything's important, and that has been very important. At the last General Service Conference, there were presentations made, one by a staff member, Helen Turnquist, who's been involved in this, and three delegates. I made a presentation on what we do when the AA member, when the drug addict, pure addict, no alcoholism involved, comes to an AA meeting. A young girl by the name of Diane G. from California, who had a dual problem, made an excellent presentation on the dual addicted member. And the delegate from Tennessee, Buford L., made a presentation on the drug addict. I think these presentations pretty well covered this subject. In our spirit of trying to be helpful and not being exclusive, and realizing that Alcoholics Anonymous cannot be all things to all people and is limited in what it can and cannot do, and realizing that the AA member is practically limitless in what he or she can do, and these are words from Bill Wilson, I would suggest that you get these four presentations. We have them in the office. Pat would be glad to give them to you or to mail them to you. And I believe they will answer your questions. And you can carry these out and share them in your groups. And if you have any other suggestions or any other questions, then bring them back to us. Thank you very much. I'm going to call on Alan Royston, for his question.
Hi, everybody. I'm Alan. I'm an alcoholic. I have two questions here that got shoved off on me. Well, first one says, should an AA group that is trying to operate as an AA group elect an officer of any position of service work that is not AA-oriented? I don't understand the question. But it looks to me like he's trying to say that somebody in an AA group got elected by his group to go out and serve in some other capacity or some other place of employment as an AA member. Or maybe they have elected some member to go to a health group or mental or drying out place to be a counselor or something. I don't know what that means. Whoever wrote that, would you like to come up and explain to me what you're trying to say? Maybe I can give you a decent answer on it. I think you want an answer or you wouldn't have written the question, so please come up and explain it. God, that's terrible. I have another one here that I dearly love. It said one of Dr. Bob's last statements was, keep it simple. Simply stated, why Hilton again? Now, I want you to know that Dr. Bob did indeed say, keep it simple. But before he said that, he said, let's not louse this thing up. And I am dead set against moving from this Hilton Hotel, from Macon. Now, if you can find another place in Macon that'll accommodate us, I'm all for it. But I do not want to see the assembly move from this place. And that has been a constant thorn in the of controversy in this assembly for the past 6 years. And I see no reason for it. You haven't been here 6 years, and you won't be here 6 years from now, unless you're really dedicated to the work of AA and come as an observer. You can stay anywhere other than the Hilton. The Hilton treats us all right as long as they provide us room to have this assembly. We don't ask that they accommodate us. Who are we? We're a bunch of damn drunks. We're lucky they let us in off the streets. This assembly has too damn much important things to bother with, and where should we meet? I was here when we moved away, moved to a roadside inn. We couldn't have got this damn section over there in it. And they voted to stay there. God moved us out of there because the man who bought it said he couldn't sell booze and accommodate us at the same time. And we came back here, gratefully, that they would allow us in here. And all of this section grew from that. Now, what do you want to do, step back in time? There's not another place in the Central Lake located area to accommodate this assembly. So be contented, be happy, and come down here to work rather than gripe about where we're going to meet. That's my opinion. Anybody want to contradict that?
Very well put. I have a double compound question here that confuses me, and I'm not hard to get confused. But to further confuse you, I'm going to let Joe answer this.
Thank you, John. I love you, too. What do you do when a person gets mad at one group for trying to get him to work AA the right way? The right way?
Yeah.
And he leaves that group and goes to another group and finishes his first year. And you have some old head that comes every once in a while and elects him as an alternate GSR, and the GSR is against it. He has not been back to AA in 9 months in this group, but attends NA on a regular basis every week. And I think that you have already answered that question. Thank you, sir.
No, I kid, Joe Simon. I love all of these fellas up here. They have meant so much to me. I've enjoyed their sharing, criticism. And I do kid Joe sometimes, but he's not very confusing. But y'all try to read one of his letters. I often say I work crossword puzzles, and I try to read Joe's handwriting. Should a member of one group be a treasurer of another group? No. This is an administrative thing. Why do we not conduct study groups or workshops on the traditions between 1 and 4? It's a very good question, and we are working on this. We've expanded this assembly. When I first started coming to the assembly, there was nothing until the speaker's meeting on Saturday night. Gradually, we've started increasing until we're now working on Saturday, and hopefully we will be increasing that. I envision the time sometime that we can get all of our business finished by 12 o'clock on Sunday and leave. To do that, we'll have to do more work on Saturday. That's, my good friend Joe has another question.
This is a great one. I get all the easy ones. It says, can we all rise and hug? Let's do it.
But don't leave.
Come on, let's do that.
Let's do that. Come on.
Come on, baby.
That is wonderful. Do you want to come up and read it? Okay, all right. Let me have your attention, please. Virgil Warren has a question that he wants to answer from an Ask It Basket. Virgil.
It's not a question I want to answer. It's a question John gave me to answer. The fact of the business is I don't know if I have the answer. You know, I'm a little confused this afternoon anyway, I sat up there and listened to the Georgia-Clemson football game. Georgia goofed around and wound up tying Clemson. We made more mistakes than a bunch of alcoholics made. Thirteen, for your information. I have two questions here, and one of them made me go back and get the service manual out and read it. The question is, doesn't the registration fee and the raffles at the roundups violate our tradition number 7? That is really in two parts, should be in placed in two parts. First of all, the registration fee for the roundup or convention or whatsoever, no, it does not violate our tradition. AA must have money to put on these events, and the only way that a retreat or roundup or whatever you want to call it can accumulate this money is through a registration fee. In fact, Georgia is the only state in the United States that has a prepaid convention plan, which is done by contributions from the groups. Now, Alabama has a partial program where the people from the state have a registration, a pre-contribution to the state assembly, state convention, but outside people have to pay a registration fee. That's the only two in the 50 states in the union. On the raffles, there's two sides to that story. First of all is, if the number of your registration blank is what is used for the raffling off, for instance, of such things as big books or the 12 and 12 and whatnot, it does not violate the seventh tradition. However, if a group sold individual tickets to whereby that group or whatever district profited by such a raffle, it would be against the tradition. I might read it to you here. I got it out to read. I won't read it all, but the part that covers that. We think that each group should soon achieve this ideal that any public solicitation of funds using the name of Alcoholics Anonymous is highly dangerous, whether by groups, clubs, hospitals, or other outside agency. I think that covers that. Now, here's a good one. John, you really picked these out, don't you? Ooh. Husband and wife who are separated. Husband has come to meeting when wife is there, causes argument and confusion. Group doesn't want to call police. May have to change meeting place if they do. There was an agreement with wife that she wouldn't attend this group, her home group, until things were settled. Wife wants to come back now after several months. Pros and cons with group members. What should we do to settle this issue of her coming to meetings at her home group? Well, first of all, I think that is a group problem. And not one of the assembly. First of all, our program tells us that the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to get sober and stay sober. So I would think that both of them would be entitled to attend their home group on that basis. However, there is further consideration of that thing. The disturbance caused within that group of these two people, to the extent that other people are not being able to achieve sobriety, I think some action should be taken on the part of that group to maintain some order in that group if it is disturbing other people's ability to get sober and stay sober. I know two instances, I won't call any names, right here in the state of Georgia. One of the groups was in Atlanta, where a man continually came to a group under the influence of alcohol to the extent that he caused a disturbance in the meeting and kept them from pursuing the AA program. And some of those men, they met on the second floor in Atlanta. And some of those men politely picked this fella up and threw him down the steps. And if I understood correctly from him, he never hit a step. The first thing he hit was the sidewalk and told him not to come back till he was ready to admit that he was an alcoholic and had a desire to stay sober. That seemed to be a drastic action. But that man did come back. I know him personally, and he has 34 years sobriety in this program. Also, another man that was in a group in South Georgia that got thrown out too and told not to come back until he was ready. And he came back, and if I'm not mistaken, that man has around 30 years of sobriety now. So sometimes we in these groups have to take the bull by the horns and do something about these things. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Very good.
You see now why I ask these past delegates to share on this program. We will have more, and if you have any questions you'd like to frame in your mind, the microphone is up here. We want to give everyone an opportunity. Right now, I'm going to call on Bob Ross. He has a question that is very pertinent today. Bob?
Just a little bit of a complicated one. It's in three parts. Reads, many people today are experiencing an overpowering and deteriorating effect on their group and its meetings by having a large number of patients from a treatment center dumped on them. In many instances, these patients are only there because they are required to be. Second part is a group within its right to ask the treatment center not to send these patients to closed discussion meetings? And then there's a third part, which we'll go into when I, in my multitudinous wisdom, will try to decipher these first two. I've experienced this in my own group. It has not had a deteriorating effect in our group, fortunately. I can see where it could. Especially if they are brand new and do not have any understanding, particularly yet of the program. It is the group problem, and it's something that should be discussed. And I would think in the absence of this particular group of people. The second place, it is a group problem, and the group is well within its rights to request the treatment center not to, as they say, dump these people in their laps. We still have the obligation to ourselves and to AA that wherever the hand reaches out, there should be another hand coming back to give them the help that they need. And those that are sincere certainly should get this help. I'm going to ask for help from the audience. It says, could there be some comments from people who are not employed by a treatment center? I am not employed by a treatment center, but is there anyone else here who has had this experience and would like to make comments on it? Please come to the mic if you will.
My name's John Quarles. I'm from the Woodbine group of AA. Not in the state of Georgia, but in another state, our home group was getting about four different treatment centers putting their people in on the same night, and it got to be a burden on the group as a working group for a closed meeting. And what we did in that situation, because we had enough people who were willing to do it, was we took a meeting into their institution as a service meeting, which meant that we had a minimum of a couple of people go into the meeting, and then as many more wanted to could, and just provided a service meeting to the institution. And that let them stay home and let us have our meeting in the usual fashion.
Thank you, John.
Atlanta. We have two institutions that come to our meeting on Thursday night. And I look at it this way, as long as we got the facility to have these people, they more than welcome. They don't cause no problem. And some of us seem to forget what we are here for. We are here to help that suffering alcoholic. And thank God in my group that we are able to accommodate these people. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Anyone else?
Thank you, Bob. I am aware of this. Some groups are able to handle this situation, other groups are not. I know groups that are having trouble paying for their coffee. This is something I think would have to be handled by the group conscience. it might be prudent to go to the hospital involved or the one who brings the people to the group and suggest gently that they not bring so many or that they share their patients with other groups. It's a very hard thing to decide because I do feel that we should be there when anyone reaches out for help. I understand also that a lot of these people don't want to come, but I didn't want to come when I got here. This is a question that is very pertinent to what we are doing today, and there are people on all sides of this thing. But why doesn't Georgia have a CPC, standing for Cooperation with the Professional Community, committee when one of the best CPC programs in the country is in Atlanta? This is being worked on. That is the way these things start. They start in the embryonic stage and grow. The delegate does have the, according to our manual, to establish committees and to have workshops according to the needs as he sees them. At this late stage, I decided that I would rather not do this at this time. It has come up just in the last several months, and it would be better to pass this on to the new delegate, the new chairperson, next year. It's something that I know that GSO is very interested in, and we are not ignoring it. We are working on it, and that is one of the ways that we are working on it, is deferring it until a later date. But it is not being deferred. Joe, don't you have another question there to answer? Thank you.
All of us are going to have to take a tenth step on this one, because we're all in this together. Although maybe some of us should have picked this up sooner. The question is, the statement is, please explain. Paragraph in state message this month asking our help in getting a 28-day recovery program going in Macon. The statement says, I object and I agree. It was a mistake. Was not picked up. It is a clear violation of the sixth tradition of Alcoholics Anonymous with affiliation. I'm sorry about it, and I know we all are. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joe. There is a very definite line. I started to say a fine line, but a very definite line of separation between Alcoholics Anonymous and any other agency. While we do cooperate, we do not affiliate. We do not endorse, or we don't object to what people are doing. Our only purpose is to be helpful. We go into institutions and we invite people to come to our meetings. We are separate and apart from anything else, and there's not any way in the world that Alcoholics Anonymous, per se, can set up a treatment center. Maybe the one that got in the message, and I'm sorry it did, maybe it was not worded right when it got in the message. Are there questions from the floor now that anyone about anything would like to ask? We are running just about on time. We do have about 5 minutes. So if anyone has anything that you would like to say, anything that you would like to share, feel free to do so at this time. Yes, come to the microphone, Maynard. Maynard Y. Yellow Horse from District 6.
I am Maynard Yellow Horse, a sober alcoholic. But for the grace of God and you wonderful people, I'm here tonight. I would just like to say that the person that posed the question is having problems with treatment facilities flooding their groups. I would like to insult that person, and maybe we can talk out something, because I've had this experience, and maybe we can solve it in that way. I would like to talk to them. Thank you.
If you are having this problem, see Maynard. He has had experience in this. Thank you very much. All right, come right up to the microphone.
I'm Jim Anthony, and I'm an alcoholic. Hello, everybody. I was sitting there, and I get awfully nervous in a group this size. But I go to a state and county. It's not an AA meeting. I go to a patient's meeting to introduce them to AA every Monday night, and I've been doing this for over a year and a half. I also attend two different groups. Nava's one and Triangle is the other, that send quite a few patients in from time to time. Sometimes there is a little ruckus, sometimes it isn't. But back in that county, every Monday night, I hear some of the patients saying there that they thank AA, that they allowed them to come in and see the insides of those when they were incarcerated, because they knew where to go and they understood the love and the understanding, and they were willing to go back to give it a try. Somebody said it, I'll say it. You know, I didn't want to go, but I did. I hated, in fact, when I opened that door the first time, I turned around to run, but somebody with loving care took me in. And if we just open up our minds and our understanding with a little willingness, that might be the one that stops me from taking a drink. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My name is Tom Lydon, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. We just recently tried an experiment, and before we did it, as a GSR of Liberty County in District 5, I got out what the guidelines of GSO put out, what we can do in institutions, what we can do with the facilities. And we had a steering committee within our group, which I suggest anybody, if you don't have a steering committee, get one so you don't have someone on Mr. AA level. The sheriff asked us to have meetings at Liberty County Jail. Well, most of the facilities, they only have small, what they call group discussion meetings, but they didn't want that. They had a captive audience of 61. So we tried an experiment there, and it is working fantastic. We have meetings there at 7:30 at night, and all the inmates are involved in the meetings. They get up and they share themselves. And by the way, about 75% of them are drug-orientated more than alcohol. But they're using the 12 steps of the AA program as a recovery tool in their way of life. Some of them don't even use the stuff, they just sold it. But we realized in our steering committee meeting that we're there to pass the message. We're not there to judge them. They've already been judged, they've always been sentenced. And at first it was a little rowdy, but they controlled it themselves. They brought it down to a real mild roar. And I personally invite anybody, if they ever come up in Liberty County area on Sunday night, if you want to see something astonishing, come up there and watch them in action. The only things they suggest you wear is pants. They don't want no short men or women. But it's really an outstanding thing. And I suggest They have other problems, too.
Would you like to explain that?
No. But if the GSRs go back to their groups and they get the steering committee going and they get all the service workers working, they won't have these problems in their group, I don't believe.
Thank you very much. That's very good. Okay, Walt. Hi, Walt.
I just wanted to share this with you. In a group a couple of, three or four nights ago, I introduced myself to a young lady and a fellow sitting next to her. And she said that she had been in AA for a year and a half or 2 years, but had not been attending meetings. And she's from out of state, going to a school in Marietta. So in explaining how she got there, she said to me that she was praying, and she was asking God to send somebody to her that would help her, because things were really fouled up for her. So it wasn't too long, this is the same day, that this young fellow that she knew knocked on her door, walked inside. She says, "You know, Mary Jo, I have a drinking problem." She says, "Sweetheart, let me tell you something. I know exactly where you need to go." So she brought him to an AA meeting, and the guy's been coming, they've both been coming every night. And that just swells me up inside. I just wanted to share it with you.
Thank you all. Out of the General Service Office, we have some conference-approved spot announcements for television and radio, and also some approved films. One of these is AA, An Inside View. This will be shown on public television, PBS, on November the 29th at 10 p.m. And you're invited to tune in and watch this very excellent film. At this time, our state chairperson, Joe Phelan, has something to say to you.
What did he say?
That's 10 p.m., November the 29th. On PBS.
I don't know how to describe this opportunity, but it has to do with rooms at the hotel. As you move along in the service structure and get ready to go to the back of the room, you have these opportunities. There are no rooms left open at the hotel. Anyone in here are coming in now without a room, they are sending them to the Sheraton on Riverside. Even people coming in to register now, even with confirmed reservations, unless they've been prepaid by check or American Express, are being turned away because the people with reservations that are being turned away are those who did not check in by their check-in hour, 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. The bottom line is there are rooms at the Sheraton at Riverside in case anybody is here who has not got in their room. Thank you. I know I can't hear you.
I want to thank these four past delegates and present state chairperson, and each one of you for your sharing on this program this afternoon. I think that it has been a very, very beneficial program. It has helped me a lot, and that is why we are here. And now, if you will, remembering our meeting tonight, at 8 o'clock. Have I forgotten anything? 8:30 tonight. Have I forgotten anything? Everybody be back and hear Joe Krause in our open speakers meeting tonight. And let's stay out and repeat together the Serenity Prayer. Oh, Lord's Prayer, correct? Too anxious to get out of here. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank both of you. Thank you very much.